What happens when your body betrays you at 10 years old? That first white pimple on Laura Chin's right cheek seemed innocent enough until it became the opening act of what she'd later call her acne shitstorm. For over 20 years, severe cystic acne transformed her face into something that made strangers stare with disgust or pity. Yet here's the paradox that runs through her entire story. The condition that made her want to die also forced her to dig deeper into herself than she ever would have otherwise. Growing up in an ultra-health-conscious household where her father consumed raw chicken and goat testicles, convinced by a man who changed his name to something more exotic-sounding, young Laura couldn't understand where these facial toxins were coming from. She ate clean, used plant-based cleaners, took supplements, avoided fluoride. Everything was organic, free-range, humanely sourced, and yet her skin screamed otherwise. This disconnect between doing everything right and still suffering became the first crack in her understanding of how bodies and identities actually work. The divorce announcement came with all the gentleness of a car crash. After screaming at her father, Laura's mother threw and shattered the phone, then yelled, "Ask your fucking father, he's divorcing me," before storming off. That's how 10-year-old Laura learned her family was splitting apart. Her father had been having affairs throughout the marriage, believing men couldn't be monogamous, advice he'd shared since she was barely old enough to understand. The promised Florida move came wrapped in lies. Beachfront property turned into a condemned house with dog hair painted on walls, rusted shut windows, and a dead possum in the backyard doghouse. They crammed onto one mattress in a tiny studio during Florida's scorching summer. This upheaval coincided perfectly with her acne becoming persistent. While her best friend Tori maintained skin that looked like smooth plastic, Laura's face resembled Mars. Child support money eventually ran out, leaving them poor. This perfect storm of abandonment, instability, and physical transformation would shape how Laura saw herself for decades. When Laura's acne erupted in whiteheads and cysts, her distracted mother, absorbed in dating and Scientology, took a year to notice. Instead of consulting a dermatologist, she brought Laura to a Scientologist chiropractor who diagnosed allergies through muscle testing, a pseudoscientific technique with no medical validity. Laura's body became another source of confusion. When her best friend proudly displayed her full pubic bush, Laura was mortified by her own hairless genitals and convinced her mother to buy black hair dye, not for her head, but for her three wispy blonde pubes. When Max developed brain cancer as a teenager, everything changed. At 13, following his surgery that left him partially blind, Laura's parents sent her back to Florida alone, with only her mother's alcoholic boyfriend checking in occasionally. She skipped 56 days of school, her grades plummeting from straight A's to C's and D's. She shoplifted alcohol and got drunk before school. Without parental guidance, she navigated adolescence with only her equally lost friends as companions. Moving to Florida exposed Laura to racism for the first time. Growing up in a multiracial household, she'd been genuinely colorblind. No one had explained that skin color mattered. On her first day at public school, a white boy told her she couldn't sit at a table because that's where the niggers sit. She'd never heard this word before. Her light skin made her an unwitting spy in white spaces where she witnessed shocking racism from people who claimed tolerance elsewhere. She developed a pattern, silently listening to racist comments, then revealing her black heritage, delighting in their stammering backpedaling. Being mixed race left her perpetually other, not black enough to understand the suffering, yet literally not white. She longed to connect with her black family, especially her grandmother Evelyn, who'd survived unimaginable hardships in 1930s Alabama. Her last name, Chin, only added confusion. People expected an Asian woman. In reality, it's an old English surname her ancestors inherited after being enslaved on the Chin Plantation in Virginia. With no group to fully belong to, Laura was just herself, a half-black, half-white, closeted Scientologist with an Asian-sounding last name. When Max's cancer spread and hospice became necessary, their mother made a compassionate choice. When Max asked if they'd arrived at Freedom Village, the low-income complex he'd eagerly awaited, she signed yes into his hand. Max was ecstatic, believing he'd finally achieved independence. They even gave him a key to his apartment. The hospice sat at the center of the Terry Schiavo controversy, a media circus requiring car searches for bombs and prohibiting cameras, leaving them with no photos of Max's final months. As Max took his final breaths, Laura felt his essence leave completely. The finality of never was overwhelming. Looking at his hand afterward, she realized they had identical hands. A part of him would always be with her. This profound loss transformed Laura in ways she wouldn't fully understand for years, giving her a perspective that would eventually inform her approach to her own suffering and healing. After Max's death, Laura pursued acting in East Hollywood, where crew members mocked her acne, nicknaming her largest sit, Doug. Her mother ordered illegal Indian Accutane, which cleared her skin but triggered suicidal thoughts. She'd stand on her balcony fantasizing about jumping. The turning point came when screenwriter Anthony Tumbakis offered to mentor her writing, liberating her from the superficial judgment that plagued acting. When her niece Jazz was murdered, Laura's body collapsed. At 26, despite clean living and yoga, she developed unbearable tailbone pain. Through hypnotherapy with healer Carol, the pain vanished. When Carol suggested her acne stemmed from repressed anger, Laura initially denied it. Days later, she erupted, punching pillows, screaming profanities, confronting decades of suppressed fury. This emotional purging began healing her skin and transformed her entire being. Laura's healing deepened through inner child work, confronting the anger she held toward her teenage self, a trashy loser desperate for connection. Asked to describe her ideal partner, she created an impossible unicorn with contradictory traits, revealing her belief that no wonderful man would want her. As her self-worth grew, she stopped obsessing about relationships and befriended Jared, a colleague who embodied her described qualities, kind, funny, stable. 4 years later, they married on their East LA balcony with both parents present for the first time since Max's death 14 years earlier. On her wedding morning, Laura discovered zits on her neck and a giant whitehead on her cheek. Instead of savoring the moment, she spiraled into self-hatred. Sitting on the bathroom floor, she realized her skin journey wasn't over. Her need for perfection still controlled her. She had to find beauty within, regardless of appearance. True healing isn't about achieving perfect skin or a perfect life. It's about accepting yourself completely, imperfections and all. In a world obsessed with filters and flawless surfaces, the most radical act is choosing to see beyond what's reflected back.